Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The music you're hearing is from the Southern Delaware Orchestra's summer concert series last year. And the community ensemble, also known as Sodello, is back again this season, bringing its Sounds of the Spring concert to Sussex County. The performances, set for April 26th and 27th, offer a mix of classical favorites and contemporary pieces, all celebrating nature and the arrival of spring. In this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by Sodello's co-founder and music director, James Allen Anderson, for more on these upcoming concerts.
So this concert is called Sounds of Spring, a musical river journey through Europe. Where are we going?
So yeah, this is an extraordinary program that we believe will help us usher in the spring. And it does have an aquatic theme. We begin with a work by Dedrick Smetana called The Moldau, which is a tone poem from a larger collection he titled Ma Vlast, or My Country. And it really depicts a journey down the Moldau River, starting at the headwaters and making our way through the Bohemian countryside until we arrive in triumph in the city of Prague.
And I notice you also have another very famous river here, the Blue Danube.
Yeah, so we have sort of bookends with these river ideas, right? And so the program will close with Strauss's Blue Danube. Strauss, of course, the city of Vienna, where we have the creation of the waltz. The Blue Danube is one of the most iconic compositions of that genre. And it features five different waltzes that run consecutively. And it's a very elegant work. You know, this is the city that invented the waltz. And so we feel like it's, again, one of these sort of joyous pieces that helps usher in the spring.
Arguably the biggest work on this concert is the Schubert Unfinished Symphony, which has a pretty interesting history. Can you tell me a little bit about the work and about Franz Schubert, who is a really fascinating composer?
Yeah, so Schubert, a very interesting composer. He's one of these artists that sits on the cusp of what we call the classical period and the romantic period. And yeah, it's a brooding work. It was left unfinished in his lifetime. We only have two movements from the symphony, an allegro molto and an andante con molto. And so we're doing something sort of interesting with this program. The format for the entire concert follows this typical overture, concerto, symphony construction. And so what we're doing when we add the Blue Danube into the mix is we're helping to complete this unfinished symphony. And it's we're not really sure why it was left unfinished. There is some conjecture about he was grappling with illness. Some people believe that he actually felt the pieces, the two movements, stood alone on their own. And I believe they do. They're really extraordinary works, but they have these elements of early romanticism, very brooding opening section. And so we feel like the Blue Danube, which is a waltz, is the typical third movement of a symphony anyways, a dance form of sorts. And we think that if the audience really wants to hear a little bit more music and they encourage us at the end of the concert, we might be able to provide a fourth movement as well.
And of course, the Blue Danube, written in the city of Vienna. Schubert also spent a lot of his tragically short life in Vienna as well.
That's correct. Yeah, so a very fertile grounds for creativity. Some would argue the greatest musical capital in the world. So Brahms and Schubert and Mahler and Schoenberg and, you know, the list goes on. There's a wonderful central cemetery there that has all these artists are buried there. And a dream of mine would be to one day do a performance of their music in that central cathedral there at the cemetery.
One piece on the concert that stood out to me is the Haydn Trumpet Concerto. And one interesting thing to me about that piece, I'm wondering if you can kind of expand on this, is it's not just a great piece of music, it's also kind of a technological showcase because it was one of the first pieces written for the trumpet that actually had valves instead of just being a natural trumpet that gave the trumpet the ability to play the full range of notes instead of just sounding like a bugle.
That's right. So the work was composed in 1796. premiered in 1800, so towards the end of Haydn's life, and it featured the keyed trumpet, so a revolutionary development in the history of that instrument. And so it really shows both the musicality and the athleticism of the instrument. And we couldn't have asked for a better soloist, Brianne Borden, who is an international star. I have the great pleasure of serving with her on the faculty at the University of Delaware, and I think she's just going to dazzle the audience with this performance.
So Dello is a relatively new ensemble. It's got an interesting history. Tell me a little bit about the orchestra and what it's like to work with the musicians and the folks behind the scenes.
You know, we have an incredible story, and the story has many, many different aspects to it. And so Steve Greifer, who is our president of the board, is one of the co-founders of the orchestra. He moved, retired to the Southern Delaware area and put a note out on Facebook asking if there were like-minded musicians who would want to perhaps play some chamber music. And Eva DeGallo, who is also one of our co-founders, answered the ad, and together they said, listen, maybe not chamber music, how about an orchestra? And so a few weeks later, they contacted me at the university and asked if I knew anyone who might help them get off the ground. And I said, well, of course, I'd be glad to do it. And that was back in the spring of 2022. And at our first rehearsal, there was 35 musicians that came up, started as a string orchestra only. We performed our first concert that July to a sold-out crowd, and it's just grown since then. Last year, we became a full orchestra. We're in our third season now. I'm overwhelmed and really humbled by all the support that we've received from the Southern Delaware community. They have come out in droves to our concerts. They've been supporters financially through donations. Our volunteers that make this organization run are the workhorse behind the group. And so we have a strong board and, of course, the musicians. I mean, it's what a pleasure to work with them every week. They're extraordinary volunteer musicians that come from all walks of life. We have doctors and lawyers and teachers and people who have been professional musicians, some who are just starting, some are in their golden years, let's say. They're an extraordinary group of people who come because they want to share their passion of music.
I always like to ask conductors and music directors this question. It's a thing that's kind of endlessly fascinating to me. With all the repertoire out there, how do you put together a concert? How do you decide what music goes on the program?
It's a subjective process, right? But I think what we can agree on that is that there's certain criteria that we need to understand. And I think for a group like Sedello, we really want to try and tie into the community. We want to, you know, there's a great love of nature in Southern Delaware. We're so close to the bay, to the ocean. And so coming up with a programmatic theme around water, I think was an easy one for this particular group. But putting together concerts, you know, I often think of it as a meal, right? We want to have an appetizer. We need something that is going to be the bulk of the program, and then something that sends somebody off, you know, that's sweet and sends them out into the world with some pleasure from the experience. But it's highly subjective.
So let's take that metaphor of the concert as a meal and kind of zoom out from just this concert and kind of talk for a second about programming in general. How do you, as a conductor, balance the audience favorites with the stuff that might be a little bit more of a challenging listen? How do you balance out the cake and the Brussels sprouts, as it were?
Absolutely. Well, I think that the different pieces shine a light on the other works on the program. And so you can reimagine a masterwork. This is a little off topic here, but everyone knows Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? It's an extraordinary work, one of the pivotal compositions of the repertoire. And to program that piece with something like something more challenging, like Martinu's Memorial to Ledici. This is a piece that was written during World War II. It was written in a span of a couple of days. I believe he was in New York City when he wrote that. And it was a commentary on a question of where were the Allies when the Nazis came in and destroyed the city of Ledici? And in the piece, he quotes Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and he changes it a little bit. So it's sort of dun, 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 bum. changes the pitch as a question, right? And so when you program that piece with the Beethoven Five, it opens up all this possible dialogue about extra musical ideas, right? And the reason that he quotes it, of course, is the Allies used that theme as Morse code. Short, 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 long was the Morse code for V or for victory. And so I think that those sort of things, always those thematic elements, are always an important part of my programming.
Thanks to the Southern Delaware Orchestra's co-founder and music director, James Allen Anderson, and our Martin Matheny for joining us on this edition of Arts Playlist. And we close out the green next with Enlighten Me and our conversation with Middletown-based author Mary Devine about her forthcoming memoir, Standing Up. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.